Hey everybody, Gerda Muller here, your Elevate Private Practice Success Conference host. And I am so excited to welcome today the fabulous Simon Termanis, who is joining us virtually all the way from Sydney. Hey Simon.
Hey Gerda, hello everybody.
So Simon is one of our fabulous speakers that will be joining us at Elevate 2021. He actually was also one of our Elevate 2020 speakers, and his expertise and the topic that he spoke about was so popular amongst all our attendees. So of course I had to have him back. So thank you so much for putting us in your diary and in your calendar for 2021.
You're very welcome, Gerda. Very excited to be a part of Elevate, as always.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. So let's get straight into it. I'm going to run through our Elevate 2021 speaker questions. So the first one, I always believe that a speaker is best suited to introduce themselves. They know what their world is all about. So tell me, Simon, who are you? What do you do and why do you do it?
So Gerda, I am originally trained as a clinical psychologist, and I run a practice in Sydney on the Northern Beaches with seven psychologists, a couple of admin staff. We have over the last 15 years grown a lot, and particularly in the last 4 or 5 years, we've grown substantially related to one, of course, being a part of the private practice success community that is Gerda Muller, but also two, and doing your trainings, masterclasses, et cetera, but also two, has been client retention, information, research, practical strategies. So that has been a really powerful and important part of how we've changed and evolved as a practice, both for the individual psychologists within the team, but also our admin team, and how we communicate both within the team, between each other, also with our clients and also with our referrers, which has led to widespread changes in how we do things to help our clients well. And those changes have meant that, we're all feeling more satisfied, confident, and competent in our roles and how we guide our clients on the journey of therapy. And so that is really a big part of why I'm involved in the Elevate process, but also a big part of who I am and what I believe in, which is big values of helping people well. Also came from a bit of history where I felt in my previous workplace in a psychiatric hospital that the balance between health and business and value for money for the inpatients and outpatients wasn't quite up to scratch. And so for me, when I started my private practice, and the whole practice ethos is always to provide exceptional value and quality of service for our clients, the sense of the investment that the clients make, that they get value from that. And client retention and helping people well is all about our ability as psychologists and as a practice as a whole and admin team to actually help those people well. So that's what I'm really passionate about. I have lots of other values about being authentic and open and genuine and hardworking, motivated, passionate, enthusiastic, all that kind of stuff, flexible, obviously kind and caring and compassionate as well. Compassion is a big part of what I'm passionate about, sort of trained ACT therapy and compassion focused therapy are my two big ones that I really like to work with, which has really helped me as a person individually, but also in running the practice and working with clients.
Wow, there's so much in what you've just shared that so resonates with me. But I think really nice part for me was when you ran through your values and you were saying all of them, and I went, yeah, that's the Simon I know. Yes, that's exactly, it's like such an apt description. And I think it's so great because a lot of times you see businesses and leaders and CEOs and practice owners, they talk about all these values, but they don't really live it. in their practice and in their own lives. And it was really great for me to hear you run through those. It's like, that's exactly who you are. This is who Simon is. This is who I've come to know you as a practice owner. This is how I've come to know you in terms of what you do. So just kudos to you to being a leader that actually lives your values. I really respect that. So that was an amazing segue to your topic, of course. So the topic that we have settled on for you for this year is, I'll let you reveal it.
Client retention, helping people well and preventing premature termination in psychotherapy.
Love that. And I love that for me, that really, it links to so many things that you said when you introduced yourself, but also, you know, for me personally, at my own private practice, our tagline has always been helping people live the life they deserve, right? Not just getting them to a place of no symptoms, but getting them to a place where they can live an amazing life. And that very often means doing more than just the regular set of sessions, but actually stepping into that place of meaning, you know, and really getting in touch with their values and going beyond just the absence of depression or anxiety symptoms and all of that stuff. And that whole aspect of the value that I just love, being a private practice owner, right? So important to give value, not only as a business, but in terms of what we know clinically best practice and evidence-based work is, and not letting our clients off when they really should be in session as yet. You know, we've got this saying inside my business that if I let you off, I let you down, right? So we always want to fight for our clients. Of course, they have the choice in terms of what they do and all of that stuff, but really coming from that place of advocating for the clients and their mental health, because sometimes they don't think they can or should, or, you know, there's of course many things that could be happening there. But I just so love this topic. So tell me then, if you think of this topic, if you think of the people that's attending Elevate, you know, most of our attendees are current private practice owners. Some of them are aspiring practice owners, but they will already be in clinical practice. You know, some of them are solo practitioners. Some of them are group practice owners within allied and mental health. Why would you say, you being a psychologist and a practice owner yourself, why is this an important topic for our attendees? You know, in other words, what difference can this topic make if they actually go, they listen and they run with what it is that you have to share?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a big topic. So the presentation I'll be doing at Elevate, I think, is it 2 hours, something like that?
I will have to check the schedule.
it's definitely not long enough to extract all of the necessary information about client retention, helping people well, to be able to enact all of the key research variables and all the practical skills and the research that's involved. However, I will be introducing as much as I can within those 2 hours, which is digestible, in terms of key concepts and some practical strategies, and just something to hook you in. You know, there's a question you're going to ask me a little bit about what failure have you personally experienced in your practice. Well, I'll share a little story about that, which is very powerful in terms of why this topic is something that every psychologist or counselor or therapist, OT, speechy, should, and practice owner and admin person should be focused on, why they should. And really some key concepts about why it's so important. One, if you're really going to help people well, we need to ensure that they attend for the required duration and consistency of sessions that the research tells us that clients actually need in therapy. And the basic research says that for the first 50% of clients that you see, they're going to need between 13 to 18 sessions on average. Okay. For the second 50% of clients with potentially more complex issues, they're going to need 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 plus sessions. And the research also tells us that on average in the US and Australia, clients attend therapist sessions for somewhere between 4.5 and 5.5 sessions on average. So as a community of therapists helping people, we overall, on average, we actually aren't helping people well. Mm. We actually aren't holding them in therapy for the required duration and consistency of sessions to ensure that they are reaching significant improvement and change. Mm. There's three phases of psychotherapy they talk about. The first phase, remoralization, where we book sessions with our therapist, we start to feel better about us doing something to help ourselves as a client. And that actually helps to ameliorate some symptoms. We actually make a small bit of change, a large percentage. In fact, up to 30% of clients have made change by the second session.
Yeah.
Significant improvement. But that's not where therapy works its best. It works its best longer term in phases 2 and 3. And that second and third phase of therapy is where significant skills are learnt, reinforced, their practice, insights are gained, and then particularly long-term behavioral coping can be worked on. And so if we're going to help people well, we need to line up the number of sessions and consistency of sessions over the period of time, the duration necessary. We need to line that up and match it with what the research evidence is actually telling us about what's necessary for our clients. And if we're not able to do that and hold our clients in therapy, which is a real challenge, given the research says we're between 4.5 and 5.5 sessions with each client on average, if we're not focusing on that and doing that, then we're not really helping people well. Yeah. They're much higher chance of relapsing. They're not going to change their longer term behavioral coping, and they're not going to make the major insights and understanding on their mental health and how their mental health issues, their issues form and maintain if we're not doing the right amount of sessions over the right period of time.
Yeah.
So just from a helping people well perspective, it's huge. It's also about amount of work. What this does is it reduces your workload as a therapist. It reduces your workload as an admin person in a practice manager, receptionist, intake officer, and practice owner. Because if you can hold those clients in therapy, you're not doing the churn and burn. You're not consistently turning over new clients, new referrals, new intakes, new files made, closing files, writing more reports. As a therapist, you're having to build a new relationship, do a whole new assessment, do a whole new treatment formulation, treatment planning. There's a lot more work involved when you are seeing clients for short periods of time and short duration. Short number of sessions. So there's a lot of reduced time and energy and paperwork saved and money saved. And also what we find is that from our feedback surveys to clients is that we're getting more positive feedback from clients. They seem to be more satisfied. They're saying that therapy has helped them more. They're saying that more of their problems they can cope better with. They're saying that they're more satisfied with the service overall. They're saying that they, more of the more helpful parts of therapy that have actually happened because they've had the time to do it. And then all of their symptom scores are more reduced for longer periods and their satisfaction with life goes up. And we start to see less relapse as well. So we're helping to prevent relapse. So in terms of client well-being and satisfaction, that increases significantly. And then the team's sense of satisfaction and competence also goes up. If you're getting more positive feedback and clients sticking at the work for longer and getting the results, you start to feel more satisfied, more meaning and purpose and value in your work. If you get better at sticking in the really hard stuff for longer with those clients that aren't the ideal clients that take time to do the work, you start to feel better about yourself as a therapist.
Yeah.
And of course, then the admin and reception people also start to see these people coming in smiling and happier and then speaking positively about their therapists that they're seeing in the practice as a whole. And then, of course, the referrers, the GPs, they start to get happy with you as a practice and as a team too. So the sense of satisfaction and competence really grows within the team too, and within the individuals working in the practice.
Well, I mean, 100% convinced. If anybody has listened to that and ain't convinced that helping people well is not the right thing to do, not even to talk about evidence-based, right? I don't know what will convince them, because everybody really wins in this scenario. I mean, so much. If I think of my own experience as a clinical psychologist, I treated a lot of trauma and severe anxiety, and very often clients would come to me and they've like been in therapy for years, but for short little sprints. They would go and see a psychologist for 5-6 sessions, and then they would go off their merry way for a year or two, and then they would land back with another therapist. And that's like the therapy merry-go-round or the revolving door, right? And it's because they've never taken that time to do therapy well with a psychologist that approaches it in that way. And what tends to happen is like clients start to feel broken because they have to go to see a therapist like every, you know, 2 years or so. Whereas when you actually take the time and do the work and do it well and go through those 3 stages that you've mentioned, and like you said, that chance of a relapse is lower. If it does occur, it's going to be a longer period between relapse because they've been able to really change the stuff that needs changing, right? It just makes sense. Yeah, I love it. And you've answered my other question about, you know, operationally, because as a business owner, I always want to know, okay, so, you know, clinically, how's it good? But also as a business owner, operationally, how does this benefit us as a team? And I mean, just, you know, the time saving in terms of the tasks that we can avoid doing by doing the therapeutic process with each client really well and getting off that hamster wheel of doing all this stuff. I mean, that's just amazing. You are a practice owner. You are in the practice owner community. You would know our number one complaint. Well, there's 2 at the moment, it's finding team, but the other one is not having enough time, right? And this really talks into that not having enough time issue, because if we have, less clients starting and ending, we can give more quality time to the people that we actually have on board. Yeah, I love it. That is so, so amazing. I can't wait for your presentation. So tell me that question that you alluded to earlier on, you know, what is that one failure that you've personally experienced in your practice or business that your topic will help our attendees avoid in their own businesses?
Yeah. Well, about 5 years ago, we had a therapist in the practice, and they were a reasonably laissez-faire therapist, so had come from a different model in terms of working, where they worked at Headspace, where there was a lot more kind of clients on wait lists, and you know, that person did the very bare minimum in terms of reports and paperwork and work outside of seeing their clients. And what I noticed was that therapist was going through a lot of clients. And when I looked at the client retention numbers for that therapist, as opposed to myself and the 2 other therapists in the practice, our numbers were sort of between 9 and 20. And this other therapist's numbers was kind of 5. Wow. And I had a conversation with that therapist, and the time they said, my clients don't need that many sessions. If they felt they needed it, they would book more. And that was a really tough experience, because I knew from that therapist's referrals that person was seeing the same type of clients that I and the other therapists in the practice were seeing. And so my personal failure was that I wasn't keeping account or running the numbers for client retention, and I wasn't keeping a focus on that. That clinician had been with us for 18 months or 2 years. So that was the mistake or the failure, which I quickly learned from. I read a lot about client retention and how clients prematurely discontinue from therapy, what are the variables, and looked across all the research and upskilled myself. And from then on, I made sure that we measured client retention numbers from the start. And then whenever anyone ever was onboarded to our team, they were educated and informed about client retention from the start, and they understood that we'd be measuring their numbers and we would work with them to understand and improve their numbers over time. That would be a key KPI in terms of their responsibility within the team, because it was about client care. It was about helping people well, which is what the research is actually telling us. So that was the biggest learning experience of mine, was to be more aware and notice and pay attention to what the therapists in the practice are actually doing with their clients, the outcomes plus the client retention and measuring those.
I love that. It is really that reminder not to be scared of looking at the numbers, because the numbers is just data that tells us what is already happening. But if you don't look at the data, it's really hard to know what is happening, right? And then to have a benchmark to measure improvement from and to compare. I think it's very important as a business owner that we also want to ensure that all our clients get the same level of quality service at our practice, right? That's part of what we do. That's our reputation. It's our model of service provision. And those numbers really give such amazing insight into how we're doing.
Yeah. It's a little bit like if you were a bricklayer and you built big buildings, and bricklayers didn't know how many bricks they laid in a day, and you didn't know how straight the walls were or how strong they were. I mean, therapy is done behind closed doors, so we don't get to structurally see the workmanship going on. So if we're not looking at these numbers, then we're not holding our team to account, and we're not holding ourselves to account really in terms of, well, how well are we building walls and how strong are they? And can we get better at that?
And what would you suggest, just off the cuff question, because I think, you know, for a lot of practice owners that hasn't been doing this stuff in their practices, they might go, oh my goodness, if I introduce this to my team, they would be scared, they might feel judged, that type of stuff. What would be your advice to them if they wanted to start looking at client retention? How do they start introducing that to their team?
Yeah. The first thing is, I would say, come and do my workshop. Because this is not an easy thing to do, and it's a really good question that you ask. It will be a scary thing. And at times for particular clinicians, one particular clinician with our team can still be a scary thing. So it is about, I think, any kind of concept you want to get a team member on board with, and that is around speaking to their values. It's around finding out that individual, why are they doing what they're doing? What really motivates them? What are their big values? Why are they a psychologist or an OT or a therapist? Why are they helping people? What's that about? Once they connect with that, then you can very easily draw a link between that and client retention and helping people well, because it's almost like if there was a core counseling skill like empathy that you weren't taught in your master's or your training, and then all of a sudden someone said, hey, do you know what, all the outcomes you get with clients, if you're better at empathy, do you know this thing called empathy, you need, we let's do it. It's shocking and it's confronting, and that's what happened for myself when I read all of this information, because I wasn't measuring my own client retention rates. I wasn't aware that client retention related to helping people well and evidence-based practice. And once I became aware of that, it was incredibly shocking. And when I went to look at my own numbers and the team's numbers, I was very scared. At the same time, it's a starting point. Yeah. And since then, I've improved my client retention numbers. And I'm no, you know, super therapist, but for me to help my clients well, that's become an important thing. And to me, it's okay to feel the fear, take the steps in line with your values. And it's all about connecting your team with their individual values about why they may see meaning, purpose, importance for them.
Yeah.
In this. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Some great advice. Really, really awesome. Love the values. And I think the other important point that you make is the fact that we are all lifelong learners. Doesn't matter how long you've been doing this thing, you know, there's always something that you just don't know that you don't know and that you want to learn and improve, you know, and a lot of time people want to learn a new theory or whatever. Whereas I think, you know, doing something, a training in client retention is really about how do you use your CBT, your ACT, your whatever, your love for whatever theoretical framework is your personal favorite, you know, how do you use that, but use that well, and that will just amplify the use of the theoretical framework that you're using in your therapy. It's just such an important foundational piece, I think.
Yeah. Little bit like if you're a tennis coach, right, and you want your client is your person you're training, and you know they're in the game of tennis like the game of life. You come up against some really tough competitors, and if you want to start to play well, you not only do you need to attend your sessions for a long period of time and work on it consistently, you know, your backhand, your slice, your serve, your volley, but you also actually need to practice that between sessions, right, to get good. And you need to play against different types of competitors. So, you know, you need the time and the number of sessions, and you need to do the work between the sessions. And so client retention is not just about the foundational skills that hold your client in therapy and keep them motivated to continue on the journey with you in session. It's also about helping them do the work in session and out of session. You know, I probably didn't mention that earlier, but you know, the three challenges that client retention looks at is one, clients that don't attend consistently, two, clients that prematurely discontinue before they've attended for long enough to do the work to get results, and three, the clients that actually are attending but aren't doing the work. So there's a lot of, you know, skills and practical strategies about how we address that with the different types of clients that struggle to do the work. Because obviously the results come a lot from the client being willing and actually participating in doing the work in and out of session.
Yes. And when you went through that, I immediately thought of another potential operational benefit as a practice owner. Imagine if you are able to use these strategies that you will be sharing to engage people better. Obviously, they're still doing the work. There's probably going to be less cancellations and less no-shows, right? Which is the bane of our existence some weeks.
100%. It's keeping them motivated on the journey. They're going to want to come to the tennis lesson or the psych session because they see the value. And part of client retention is actually their mindset towards therapy as a whole and how we notice when they're engaging or disengaging and bringing them back into that engagement consistently.
Yeah, love it. It's the best. All right, next question. Thank you for that amazing insights. I love it. If you could go back in time, what would be the one thing you would be doing differently in your practice or business?
Well, client retention would be it.
From day one.
That would be it. It would be. But that also comes to the main topic of accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, along with that client retention stuff that we started 5 years ago here in the practice, mm-hmm. came accountability. You know, in terms of how therapists think about being therapists is we all know we have to do individual supervision and group supervision as an added bonus if you can, right? It's really important that we meet our supervision and professional development requirements. And particularly within supervision, it's this space where we can actually consult with one another and take the real time we need to reflect. Mm-hmm. And through reflective practice, which we know is the way to improve and grow as a therapist, it's not by years of experience that can help, but it's not the thing. The thing that helps us improve our weak points is reflective practice. So, and that accountability, reflective practice, group supervision, individual supervision, client retention, they all form a part of what we changed here in the practice 5 years ago. We had more regular group supervision. Individual supervision was something that I did with all of our team, and then client retention training. So we have group supervision every 8 weeks for 2 hours. here in the team. And then we do client retention for a couple of hours every 8 weeks too, and they alternate. So every month we've got 2 hours. So it gives us that in terms of good evidence-based practice and our ability to perform at our best with our clients and to look after ourselves, the client retention thing is also there. So it's about connectivity, accountability, and reflective practice and collaboratively together working on improving and growing and supporting each other in being better at helping people well. So if I could turn the clock back, I would have done that from the start.
And I recommend everybody else do that as well, because that is just such a, it's really a whole of practice approach to the way that we do what we do, right? I just love that. Some great, great advice. Okay, so what is the one of the things that you are currently researching and or focusing on?
I think as a practice owner, and also coming into this client retention space where I'm now trained, I think 4 different practices, and you know, we've got this larger online workshop happening in August. There's going to be people from all around Australia attending that workshop. I am really working on my leadership skills and understanding myself, my own personal human journey as a leader, and how important and valuable it is to cope and manage during difficult times like COVID, and when other team members maybe aren't coping with certain things going on in their life, or COVID or difficult clients, whatever it is. So that's become a really big focus of where I'm trying to grow and improve as a human. And so leadership, culture.
Love that. Definitely two things that is so important, you know, as a result of, we still are really in the midst of a global pandemic. You know, our clients have struggled, our teams have struggled, and really for us as practice owners, we've had to more and more step into being the leader, right? Even for a lot of us that maybe try to naturally not have to step into it, you just had to because your team needed you to do that. So it's so important for us to always be, you know, growing in that space. So that's really exciting. Okay, so next question. If you cast your mind back to last year, July, when we had virtual Elevate 2020, what did you love most about being part of last year's conference?
Wow, that's a good question. I was so anxious about presenting online that that was the overall space for me. And now, thank you to your encouragement. I'm feeling more confident in terms of online presenting.
So what you're telling me, it was a big personal growth event for you.
It was.
I can tell you, I was a bit scared as well, right? Running a 2-day virtual conference that we had to move from in-person to virtual and just hoping that the internet lasts, Zoom doesn't kick us out, and that everything goes well. Really? It was such a growth event for, I think, a lot of us.
Yeah, massive. It was massive. But your question was, what was the most valuable, did you say?
Yeah, or what did you love the most or most valuable either? Yeah.
I love the most. Look, it's a really, Elevate is really unique. I think in business, you, in terms of creating value, and this is the same as a psychologist or as a practice owner or as an admin person, we need to bring our unique qualities and value to the experience when we're working with others, whether it's teammates, supervisees, colleagues, clients, whatever service we're offering. So Elevate is very unique. You bring, which is very you, Gerda, you're able to think very creatively about what people might actually really value and need without people knowing it just yet. Maybe they do know it. Maybe they've even communicated in bits and you just put all that together. I don't know how you come up with it, but Elevate is one of those things, right? Where, and there's got to be a lot of creative genius there where you can see what people need and you try and meet that need. And that's what innovative entrepreneurial business is about. And I think as psychologists with our clients, that's exactly what we're doing each session, where we're mm-hmm. having to bring a part of ourselves and be quite creative about how we connect with those people yeah. and how we help them connect with the model we're working in and the work that we think they need to, or together with a client, we decide they need to do to help them. And the same for you with Elevate and all the presenters you've collated and the topics. It's unique. It's going to add value. And that's what I found with 2020 Elevate. And I'm sure will be bigger and better this year, 2021 Elevate. So that's what's really valuable about this event. There's no event like it. And it brings a unique value that, you know, people need and will benefit from, even if they may find that hard to see. But these videos will help them see it.
Yes, yes, because for those that hasn't been there as yet. And thank you for saying that, because that is exactly what the goal of Elevate is, right? To really, you know, during the year, I'm constantly listening to what practice owners tell me, what they're struggling with, the questions that they ask, you know, the things that they just tell me that's been hard and difficult. And I really try and go, okay, what can I put in those 2 days where I know these time poor practice owners, if they just allocate those 2 days out of their schedule, that they can, you know, get content, that they can action mindset shifts, that's going to help them elevate their practice growth over the next 12 months and really have it within this amazing container with all these awesome speakers. And obviously, you know, they might see speakers that they want to work more closely with, whether that's one-on-one or workshop or group or whatever, and just connecting our practice owners with people that is there that can help them, people that's been there, done that. You're a practice owner yourself, right? You've been and are still in the trenches every day of working with team and clients and all that stuff. And there's nobody better to learn from than speakers like yourself, you know, to get stuff that other people can go and use in their practice that can allow them to avoid all those pitfalls, get over those challenges more easily, and just get to where they want to get to sooner, which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely plenty of value. Make the time to go to Elevate and you won't regret that. Definitely will change your practice from, like you said, those amazing speakers with so much great information. I definitely learned a lot last year myself from those other speakers too.
Yeah, me too. I must say, I thought like I knew all the speakers and their content pretty well, but I walked away with such a freaking long list of notes and stuff to discuss with my own practice principal about stuff that we need to implement, you know, because again, it's you just don't know what you don't know. And the speakers are such experts in their interest areas, you know, that we can't know everything. It's why you are, for example, our speaker on client retention, because I don't know anybody else that knows more about this topic than you, right? So, and that's the amazingness of the whole 2 days and the speakers that we have there. But thank you so much for giving me your time today. I am sure if people were sitting on the fence, hopefully this has given them some encouragement to come and to join us. Of course, if you're listening and you want more intensive work on your client retention, feel free to reach out to Simon. What's your website again?
It's stapsychology.com. You'll see us under there. We've got a workshops tab. You can send me an email, give me a call, whatever, we can chat. But we're running a workshop in late August, 1.6 days online. So get on board and I will hopefully see you at Elevate as a bare minimum.
Yes, that would be amazing. Thank you again for your time. Really appreciate it and can't wait to learn everything I need to know about client retention.
Thanks, Gerda. Thank you so much for your time.
Anytime. Bye.